And the rest of you can turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we are in a series called A New Way. I hope you're on a new way. I hope you have left the old way behind and have come into a new way in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Javier, I saw you sneak in the back. Good to see you, young man. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. We'll be reading the end of chapter 8 today. Bible says, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Bible says, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Lord, we come here this morning to worship you. Lord, we come here this morning. Lord, we push back the devil. Lord, we push back the attack of the enemy, bring confusion, despair in our situations. Lord, we push back the distractions, Lord, that would cause us to miss what you have for us, Lord. We look for that new way, as Lord, as you guide and direct Philip, Lord, on that road, that desert road, Lord. Lord, that you set up divine appointments, Lord, that you are speaking into our hearts, Lord, that you speak into our lives, Lord, that we can respond to you, that we can find you, and we can follow you. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, we're in this series called The New Way, and it is a shift as we are taking a look at God speaking right into the heart of Philip. He is in Samaria, good stuff going on. I want to talk to you about hearing from the Lord and having the Lord speak into your heart, and the Lord would use the things that are going on around you to speak. Can I get a witness on that? It'll become more clear. About 2 years ago, the city saw fit to build that skateboard park. We have talked about it a bunch. It is about three blocks that way. People are pointing, and I know you get reoriented. And, as they were building that, I'm just feeling that, this is God putting this here for us. This is a place. This is Gaza. You know, we need to get down there. We need to get on that desert road. We need to get out there and start being busy. And so we do the after-school program. We feed, 2,000, 2,500 meals a month. And so, Lord, we got the food. And there's some kids who need the message of the gospel. And so, we were doing hot dogs one day, and we're going to set up to do that, and something came up. And I sent my son Joe over there, grew up in this church since he was like 1 year old or 2 years old or something, and grew up in this neighborhood, grew up in this church, 6'4", 250 pounds. I sent him over there. And I'm not scared. You can handle it, you know. And I said, Joe, just go give some hot dogs out, give some cold water out. And he did that. And I went and did my thing. I can't remember what it was, and came back and said, how was it? He said, Dad, it's a dark place. Cool. You know, and I sensed the door kind of closing. You know, it's like, okay, this is just not for us. But I couldn't get out of my heart. And the Lord just wouldn't let me let it go. And so Dana and I went out all last year, every day. And we would, to do this outreach, this is a catering thing here that we had to buy. And you can put a full pan, commercial pan in there full of food. And so Dana and I would roll up and have a couple banana boxes full of plates and all that kind of stuff, and that thing full of hot food, and usually a couple cases of water. And we would roll out over there, and those kids would just line up and come running, literally, or skating, not running. And they would come over, and had a rule, no cussing. If you cuss, you don't eat. And we went out there the whole last year, and I would take a cake, and I'd take the best looking, because we get a lot of cakes, after church today, we got some cake for you, and take the best looking cake, And I go sit at a table, and I start cutting that. Dana be putting out all the food, putting out all the, I start cutting that cake. And guys would come over and say, hey, can we have some cake? I said, sure, have a seat. But this is the Jesus table. And you can have all the cake you want. But while you sit here, we're going to talk about Jesus. Amen? And what we did all last year was wait for God to make divine appointments. And you know what we discovered? It's a dark place. Amen? We're talking about a new way. And we're talking about hearing from God. And we're talking about finding that new way in life. Amen? To find that new way, you're going to have to leave the old way behind. We have been taking a look at Acts chapter 6 through 8, and we've been talking about the presentation of the gospel to the Jews in Jerusalem. This message of Christ, and they are struggling with it because the whole focus in their culture was the land, the law, and the temple. We're the people of God. We're in the place of God, and we dwell in the presence of God. And so the message of a risen Messiah, a suffering servant who paid for their sins, was a threat to their entire focus of their culture. And they found themselves unable to release the old way. And so they rejected the new way. Are you tracking with me on this? Now, as we take a look at Acts chapter 6, we looked at Stephen, and we saw that there was this group of Jews, Greek-speaking Jews, or as I mentioned in the last couple of weeks, Hellenistic Jews, and they had moved from the area around Israel, Syria, Samaria, and all these, well, not Samaria, but Syria and Lebanon and all these places, Egypt, Babylon, and they said, we want to get back to the land. We want to get back and find a way to connect with God. And when they returned, they had given up their old lives. And they returned, and they found that they were received as second-class citizens because they didn't speak Hebrew. And so the residents, the Jews that were rejecting the Lord, are kind of like, oh, really? And so these people who had left everything behind in an attempt to connect with God, as the message of the gospel comes to them, they're like, this is what we came for. We came for a way to connect with God. And we see, and the problem starts up with the synagogue and the freedmen and Stephen and all this kind of stuff. And this great persecution starts pouring out against all these Greek-speaking Jews that are receiving Christ as their Savior. And what happens is they persecute the church, and they go back to where they came from with this message of a Messiah that reaches out to you. Amen? So we come to Acts chapter 8 last week, and we see Philip, and the persecution pushes Philip right into Samaria and right into revival. Today we're going to continue looking at Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and the message in the desert. Amen? Amen? All right, let's roll. We're going to take a look at the end of chapter 8, 26 and 27. God moving the message. It was the persecution of the Jews that had moved the message out of Jerusalem. Now we're seeing God take a direct tactic in the life of Philip. God sent an angel. Angel of the Lord said to Philip, go down to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. And we see here that God is stepping into history. God is stepping into Philip's life and sending a messenger right to him. Now, there's all kinds of stuff that's going on in Samaria. there is revival that is going on in Samaria, and the angel of the Lord comes to Philip and says, you got to go. And it would be easy for Philip to say, there's revival going on here. I can't leave. I've got too much going on. And when the messenger comes to us, it's easy for us to act like the Jews and say, my old way has got too much hold on me and I can't move into a new way. Are you tracking with me on this? But I'm wondering in your life, how do you respond to the direction of the Lord? God speaks into your heart. Aaron was up here this morning saying, you know, God is speaking to me right now. And he was responsive. Amen? Anybody blessed by what he said this morning? Yeah. God speaking to his heart. And so my question for you is, what do you do when God directs you? Think about that for a second. Second question. What do you do when your boss directs you? Because many of us hop to when our boss directs us, but we kind of treat the direction of the Lord kind of like suggestions. Can I get a witness on that? Maybe I should spend a little bit more time there. I don't know. Philip hops to. And he ends up on the desert road going down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And I got this map up on the screen. Jerusalem is on the upper right. Gaza is on the left. And there's two roads. There's the direct route, which would be the easy route to take. Amen? But God didn't say take the easy route. He said take the desert route. And the desert route is a long way around. It's like 50 miles. Average rate of travel back in the day is 10 miles a day. Take you 5 days to go on the desert route from Jerusalem to Gaza, but sometimes when the Lord gives you some direction, it's not the easy way, but the long way around. Anybody found that to be true? God will put you on the long route. He'll put you on the desert route. I don't want to think about the desert route. All right. So he doesn't get to Gaza. He makes it a portion of the way. We don't know where he meets, but he meets the treasurer of Candace, who is queen of Ethiopia. And Ethiopia back then is not what Ethiopia is today. I got another map for you up there. And, you know, I was going to use my laser printer, but my laser printer is a little weak. But anyway, what we're talking about in Ethiopia is on the southern part of this map up here, and we would know it as Nubia today, which would be northern Sudan. All right. So this area was controlled by this queen and this eunuch, right? Looking at the age of everybody here, still checking. All right, the eunuch. We don't know if he was actually emasculated. If you don't know what that means, you can ask your mom, okay? It could have just been a title, all right? That because he was working for the queen. But the Old Testament and the Jews had an issue with eunuchs. You can go back to the law of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1. No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. And so this eunuch could have been just another guy trying to find a way to connect with God and running into barriers. See it? Like the Hellenistic Jews, they came, it's like, oh, really? You don't even speak Hebrew? You expect us to let you in the temple? Barriers. Amen? All right, let's keep reading. Second half of 27 and to 30. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot. This is so good. Reading the book of Isaiah the prophet, the Spirit told Philip. Now, I've been prepping this all day. I'm still reading this, and I get tingles right now, man. It says, go to that chariot and stay near it. And Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. God tells Philip where he needs to go. Now, this eunuch is probably a proselyte, okay, which means a convert from whatever religion they had in Sudan to Judaism. You say, well, how would he know about Judaism? Well, they knew about Judaism way back from when the Queen of Sheba went to go visit Solomon. Tradition says that the Queen of Sheba had a son with Solomon, that the son went up, learned in Israel, came back, and so there was an awareness of the Jewish faith and of the Jewish culture all the way down in northern Africa. Find myself. Here we go. All right. So he comes to Jerusalem. He comes to Jerusalem to worship. And he leaves with questions. He's reading the book of Isaiah. You ever read the Bible and find out that it's writing something just to you? Amen? Check it out. Isaiah 56, verses 3, first half of 5. Let no foreigner, all right, imagine this dude. He's going to worship, maybe running into some barriers. Hears about the prophet Isaiah and starts reading about eunuchs, of which he is one. Tracking with me on this? Let no foreigner is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. Open invitation. Can I get a witness on that? You come here this morning and you are looking for a way to connect with the Lord. He wants to find a way to connect with you. Send his son to die on a cross to connect with you. Can I get a witness on that? All right, so here we go. And he says, will not exclude, and let no eunuch, and I'm sure he's going, ding, 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 I'm a eunuch. Let no eunuch complain. And maybe he got to Jerusalem and he was complaining. I can't get in this place. Let no eunuch complain, I'm only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths. And he's maybe thinking, I keep the Sabbath. Who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its wall a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. Whew. Think this guy was maybe a little bit fired up? Now, we don't know what he was reading, but I'm thinking if I'm a eunuch, that's what I'm reading. Can I get a witness on that? Now, this scroll would have been tough to get. It would have been incredibly expensive. Go stand by that guy. God is making a divine appointment here. God is setting up, getting ready to do something special. And you got Philip, who has been casting out demons, who has been healing the sick, who is doing miraculous signs and wonders in Samaria. And he's saying, I'm ready for something special. Can I get away? Are you ready for something special? Are you ready to be used by God for him to set up divine appointments in your life so that he would do miraculous signs and wonders through you? Philip's going, give me more. I'll take some of that. I'll tell you what. We got a skateboard park. He's going to do some more. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Sorry. I'm just going off a little bit. But Tommy, I'll buy you lunch, buddy. Thank you for that witness. Go stand by that guy. And he hears. He hears this. Everybody read out loud back in the day. Everybody. It was universal. He runs up there and he hears the guy reading out loud a messianic prophecy. You have to realize, folks, there was no New Testament. This time is probably 36, 37, 38 AD, maybe as short as 1 year, maybe as many as 4 years after the resurrection of Jesus, okay? Matthew, maybe James, the earliest books in the New Testament, they're not written until the 40s. Obviously, the book of Acts is not written. I mean, Philip is in the book of Acts. Can I get a witness on it? The only scripture that they had for Philip was what we would call the Old Testament. And the closest thing to the gospel is the book of Isaiah. And he walks up, and that's the Old Testament is big. Can I get a witness on that? He could have been reading Genesis. He is reading Isaiah, and he's reading about a prophecy of a coming suffering Messiah. I got tingles right now. That just fires me up. I'm sorry. An ordained meeting. Divine opportunity created by God. Go down to the desert road, going to Gaza, looking for somebody who's willing. You know, God's still making divine meetings. Amen? In our time, and you can ask Dana, our time at the skateboard park, far and away, the most, in my mind, maybe I'm thinking Dana's going to, I didn't check with her on it. The most challenging guy was Dante. Remember Dante? Most challenging guy? By far? He was a Hebrew Israelite, which is a sect which claims to be Israelis from Africa that were sold into slavery in the 1600s and the 1700s, and they are loud. Perhaps you've seen guys that look like this. You're pulling, yeah, you've seen them right over there because Nona goes to school over there. Right over there on Fairmont, right at Whiteman. And are they loud? They are loud, and they are big, and they are bold. Well, Dante was loud, and he's screaming about what a farce Jesus is. I mean, screaming loud. I recall three meetings with Dante. The last time we had some parents hanging around, I took Dante in my car. Dante, let's go to the church. I got something special for you. I'm not going to be, I want, come on, Dante, let's go. And I left Dana to handle the moms. And I had to get him out. And got him to the parking lot. He's still screaming. Drunk. I walk in the church on Friday. I'm bringing in food. And there's Dante sitting with three other skaters. And I walk in there, and he's like as far from me to Javier. And I go, you! And he looks at me with this kind of smile on his face. And he goes, what? What do you mean, what? You! And we start talking, and he and the other guys helped us unload the food. And I said, man, you look straight. And he gets a little, what? I said, dude, you don't look like you're loaded. And he goes, yeah, I had to quit drinking. And I said, that's good. And I said, how about the Hebrew Israelite thing? He goes, yeah, I'm done with that too. And I said, you know, Jesus has something for you, Dante. You know, I really thought he was going to be here today. Because here's a kid. Here's a kid who's searching. He's like an Ethiopian eunuch. Man, he is shed his past. And he's looking for answer after answer after answer. And I'm believing that after all last year, there's one divine appointment. Dante could be it. For him to get it, he's got to leave the old way and grab onto the new. Amen? I'll tell you what, I think I'm just preaching to me today because I'm getting fired up. Aaron preached to him, I'm preaching to me. New way, got to leave the old behind. All right, here we go. Verses 30 to 34. Are we okay? I don't want to just be preaching to me. I'll let you guys in on it. Oh, again, no. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip, standing outside this big old carriage thing. Are you getting that? How can I? Unless I have someone to explain it to. I mean, you could drive a truck through that opportunity. Can I get a witness on that? So we invite him, come on up. Come on up and sit with me. This is the passage of the scripture that he was reading. Check it out. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. Whew. And as a lamb before its shearer was silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asks Philip, is the prophet speaking about himself or someone else? You know, it's nice when you can get some help. Amen? The quote here is from Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. Now, if he's reading about God's promise to the eunuchs in Acts 56, it would be easy to slide back to 53. Can I get a witness on that? Can I get a witness on that, please? You seeing that? It's a big old roll, man. He'd go, oh, look at this. In this time, Judaism has no expectation or answer for a suffering Messiah. This section of Scripture, Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53, is titled Suffering Servant. And so he goes and he starts asking questions. And the stock answer from Judaism at the time falls flat. So he leaves Jerusalem doing what each of us should be doing when we got some questions about the Bible. He is reading it. Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. You are about the things of God. You got questions about the things of God? God has answers for you. He has enough time to send somebody your way, even if you're on the desert road going to Gaza, to set up a meeting. If you want to know about God, he's got answers. Many of us, oh, I got some back there, are doing daily reading journal. George has got them back there if you want them. 20 minutes a day, change your life. Go through this. It's got a reading for every day. And do this. You'll read through the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once in a year. And you got questions? I post. Oh, I'm sorry. You got questions? I post a 5 to 10 minute devotional every day. City Heights Assembly of God Facebook page. You read that. I go through some of the geography, some of the history, some of the context. I mean, nothing, it's 5 or 10 minutes. And just try to just kind of explain some of the hooks. And I mean, there's so many names and so much of this stuff. And it just kind of smooth it out. Because it's nice to get some help. Amen? All right. Let's keep going. The content of the message. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. All right, let's take a look at this text. A sheep led to slaughter. Jesus led a sinless life, born of a virgin, that he could, go to the cross and pay for our sins. He was born of a virgin so that the sin of Adam, so the sin of man would not be passed on to him, so that he could indeed hang on a cross and offer us new life in him. Amen? Silent before his accusers. Mark chapter 14, verses 60 and 61. When the high priest stood before him and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. You know, he gave no answer because he knew the hearts of men. Trumped up trial was just the path on the way to the cross. What about his descendants? The God, when he had promised Abraham all nations be blessed through him, said your offspring will be like the stars in the sky. What about his descendants? Well, John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. So children of God are children of faith. God will never leave you hanging. Going to leave the Philip hanging, not going to leave the Ethiopian eunuch hanging, and he's not going to leave you hanging if you come to him with a genuine desire to put off the old and grab onto the new. Now, you got more stuff going on in your life? You got too much going on for him? Guess what? He'll let you go. Guess what? He'll let you go. Buy your lunch, Aaron. You know, some people think that God somehow owes you salvation. God offers you salvation. He says, I'll give you new life for your old life. I'll give you my life, eternal life. It takes everything that you have. You take all your relationships, all your valuables, all of everything. You bundle it up, you call it your life, and you throw it back, and I'll give you eternal life in me. Jews couldn't handle that. Ethiopian eunuch could. Philip was moving into it. As you do that, God will never leave you hanging. Amen? Skate park. That's a skate park that they built 2 years ago. The city, in its wisdom, saw fit to build a brand new skate park right over there, about 400 yards away. And this is the new one. It is so long, I couldn't even take a picture of it. It bends around. It is 4 times as big as the old one. In my heart is still that call, that divine appointment to head over there. And this little ice chest thing that we got here to put some hot food in just isn't going to cut it. And so last year, the Lord sent me up to Riverside to buy that hot dog cart. And I talked to the city, Parks and Rec, and I said, hey, we want to go in there and we want to feed these kids every day. And they said, ho, 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 ho. If you're going to go into our park, we've got to get you registered with the county health and safety. And we're going through the county health and safety registering our brand new kitchen downstairs back in January. Started talking to them about the skateboard park. They said, okay, that sounds good. But for you to get registered, you got to go to the state Department of Education. Now, what do we want to do? We want to have God set up some divine appointments. Can I get a witness on that? And so, looking at this brand new thing, and we got to convert that hot dog cart. We got to be able to get right down there, right in the midst of all of that kind of stuff. We got to get it all working. And so, we had the state in here this week, and I drove the guy down there to the skateboard park, and he says, "This sounds like a fabulous idea." And I went to the park guy. I said, the state guy said, this sounds like a fabulous idea. And he says, good, we'll give you a dry run. You go down there in August, we'll get set up for a whole shebang going on down at the beginning of the year in September. But you got to get the county health and safety to write off on the hot dog cart. And I went to them. They said, but it sounds like a great idea. And we talked to the health and safety guys, and they said, whatever you want to do, we're going to find a way to get you to do it. And so we got the city, we got the county, and we got the state all lined up. But wait. They all said, this sounds like a great idea. And they all said, nobody has ever done this before. God will do a new thing. God sets up divine appointments. You want to move into that new thing, you've got to put that old thing behind. Amen? Whew. I'm preaching to me today. Glory. Hallelujah. God, see, God wants us moving into opportunity. Verses 36 to 38. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. See, the eunuch is stepping ahead. Water baptism marks that breaking of the old and stepping into the new. Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church, Acts chapter 2, verses 27 and 28, talking about how the Jews had crucified Christ, and they're cut to their heart. And they say, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and asked Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And you can drive a truck through that one too. Can I get a witness? And he says, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that repentance, talk about repentance, it's a 180-degree shift in your life. It is that casting off of the old so that you can grab on to the new. It is a public display. It is a public testimony that I am throwing the old off and moving into that new life for Christ died for me. It signifies as you go down under the water, you're dying and being raised up to new life in Christ. The Jews couldn't handle it. They couldn't let go of the old life. The eunuch, as he became a proselyte, he would have been baptized. That baptism into Judaism is a declaration, I am a Gentile no more. And I'm a Jew, and they say, right. And here he's being baptized saying, I'm a Jew no more. Because I know Christ is my Savior, he let go of the old and grabbed onto the new. Amen? Whew. Sorry, I'm so fired up today. New life in Christ. The requirements. What does it take to be baptized? Why shouldn't I be baptized, he said. Number one requirement. Realistically, the only requirement. You're part of the family of God. You have said, Lord, you're going to repent. You're turning from the old. Say, Lord, take my life. I want my new life in you. That you are a new creation in him. And he baptizes you and he adopts you into his family. If you have done that, your next step is to be baptized in water. A couple weeks back, we did some baptism in water. You need to get baptized in water? We got a tank right back here. We'll fill it up. You know, we're going to the beach tonight. I can even baptize you in the beach tonight. There's water right here. Why shouldn't I be baptized? You know the Lord Jesus Christ and you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. Amen? All right, last thing I got for you, verses 39 and 40. When they came up out of the water, we talk baptism, submersion all the way. If you've only been sprinkled, not good enough. Sorry. I was sprinkled. I had to get redunked. All right, here we go. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Philip is on the move again. Philip continues on. He's taken away, and the eunuch is rejoicing. The eunuch comes from Jerusalem with questions, and now he's got answers. He's a new creation in Christ, and of course, he is on his way rejoicing. Amen? Philip continues on down to Azotus, which is another name for Ashdod. Gaza, we talked about, one of the primary cities of the Philistines. So also is Ashdod, Gaza, the southernmost. I got a picture here for you. Azotus or Ashdod. And so what Philip is doing is preaching to the Philistines. And he heads on up north all the way to Caesarea. And we read about Philip next time, probably 25 years later, Acts chapter 21, verses 8 and 9, leaving the next day. We reached, talk about Paul the apostle. We reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. And in verses 6 through 8, and really ramps it up as we see the salvation of Saul of Tarsus and becomes Paul the Apostle, we see a shift of focus on the gospel and the message and the work of the church from the Jews who are not able to let go of their past, who reject Jesus and crucify Jesus, to those who are in transition, to those who are ready to let go of their past and grab onto a brand new future in Christ Jesus, to get that new life. You got to leave your old life behind. And I'm wondering this morning, who do you know who needs a new life? Are you Philip? I'm looking for my wife. Oh, there she is. All right, hon, you can come up here and play your guitar. I'm going, wow, I need a guitar player here. Well, it's like, yeah. I don't even know what she's sitting all the way back there for. A new way. You know, last week, a guy came up to me and said, you know what, Pastor, you're preaching this whole message right at me. Sometimes that happens. I'm wondering if that happened to you today. Perhaps God set a divine meeting for you this morning right here. And this whole time, God has been speaking right to your heart, right to your soul, and this is for you. This is for you. I set this up for you. You're the Ethiopian eunuch. You're the guy who's looking for answers. You came in here with questions today, and I have answered all of your questions. This is for you. And I need to know if you're going to be a eunuch today or you're going to be a Jew today. Because the Jew said no. I sent them a message. And they grabbed on too hard to their old life. But you're here this morning. God's speaking to your heart and he says, I have a new life. New life for you. New life in me, eternal life. Spend eternity with me. I paid for your sins, sacrifice on the cross. You understand this morning is the time to cast off the old and grab onto the new. Bow your heads with me, would you? Lord is speaking right to your heart. You're freaking out a little bit. I'd imagine that eunuch was freaking out. I'd imagine Philip was freaking out. God makes a divine appointment. It is bigger than you. It is bigger than me. It is bigger than all of us. You're in the midst of it this morning. God is speaking right to your heart and says, I want to know you as my child. I want to set you free from sin. I want to guide you in a brand new direction with nobody looking around. God's speaking right to your heart. You want to say, God, I am yours. I'm going to give you my life. Nobody looking around. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. God is speaking to my heart. I want to give my life to him this morning. Back here, somebody else would say, that's me. Somebody else would say, that is me. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Divine appointment. Back here, hallelujah. Buddy else would say, that's me. I'm tired of holding on to the old. I want to grab on to the new. Somebody say, you can be a Jew this morning. God will let you walk out of this place. Let a whole generation perish in the wilderness because they grabbed on to the old. God's speaking to your heart this morning. You want to give him your life. Nobody looking around, that's you. Slide your hand up this morning. Anybody else? Anybody else? Right here, hallelujah. Somebody else? Last shot. Don't be a Jew. Got you there. Hallelujah. Back here. Right here. Hallelujah. 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 People leaving Jewish faith all over the place. Right back here, I see that. Last shot. Anybody else? All right, just keep your heads bowed. Maybe you know the Lord. God wants you to be a Philip. And I'm wondering this morning if you know a Dante. He might not be loud. He might not be a Hebrew Israelite. He might even be a she. But they got questions. And they are hurting. And they are ready to throw their past behind. And they are ready to grab onto new life. How can I understand unless I have someone to explain this to me? And as this message has been coming out this morning, the Lord has been putting a name in your heart. And He's been telling you, I have a divine appointment for you. I need you to go to the desert road. I'll let you know what's going to happen when you get there.